Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, August 20th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Health Minister David Parirenyatwa issues a travel alert, warning Zimbabweans to avoid traveling to West African countries that have been hit by the deadly Ebola virus.
And that's the first thing. And anybody whom we are picking up hasn't come from those four countries of Liberia, Nigeria, Guinea, or Sierra Leone.
Harare dispatches Industry and Commerce Minister Mike Bima to China ahead of President Robert Mugabe's visit to seek Chinese investment to help revive Zimbabwe's struggling economy.
Things are much tougher than they were last year. Demand for goods has fallen. I think there's also a change in the habits. Pattern of spending has also come down.
And Chitungwiza municipality suspends more workers over last month's crippling strike. Today's planned work stoppage did not succeed as a result, as workers feared for their jobs.
So far for today, nothing has happened, but we are looking forward to tomorrow that we are going to see a demonstration.
Health Minister David Parirenyatwa issued a travel alert today, warning Zimbabweans not to travel to West African countries that have been hit by the deadly Ebola virus. Zimbabwean Christians have over the years been traveling to Nigeria to visit preachers like TB Joshua in search of spiritual healing. Parirenyatwa told Studio 7 it is not wise for Zimbabweans to visit Nigeria at the moment. The outbreak in Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Nigeria is the biggest Ebola epidemic to date. The World Health Organization yesterday said the overall death toll had risen to 1,229. The UN Health Agency said the number of confirmed and likely infections has risen to 2,240, including 113 new cases reported last week. The majority of the new deaths were in Liberia, where authorities have struggled to contain the virus. The outbreak has prompted officials in neighboring West African countries and other to take precaution. Cameroon says it has closed all of its borders with neighboring Nigeria. Parirenyatwa tells Studio 7 Simavela Simtlanganya Huye that it is better to try to prevent infections than try to heal those infected with the virus.
We are alert to the threat that is there in terms of Ebola, and we have put as much readiness as we can, especially in terms of international travel screening at our international airport. And that's the first thing. And anybody whom we are picking up hasn't come from those four countries of Liberia, Nigeria, Guinea, or Sierra Leone. We put them on surveillance for 21 days and check on them on a daily basis, and urging our populations to continue to be vigilant, to wash their hands as often as they can. And we are discouraging our nationals from traveling to those particular areas. Unless it's really, 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 really necessary, we are saying for the time being, please don't go there.
So what precautions can Zimbabwean nationals take, especially if they really have to travel to those areas that are prone to Ebola right now?
Well, if they have to, I mean, I think I want to talk about those generality of the people, if we are discouraging them from going there. Those who really have to go there must, when they get to that country, they will be directed where the crisis is and avoid those areas. And avoid generally to be in contact with crowded places. That's why, in fact, we think it's very wise for our nationals at this point in time to avoid going to those particular areas. You are aware that it is not airborne, and it is really through bodily contact, through fluids.
The Zimbabwean nationals, what should they be on the lookout for, especially those that are actually traveling from West Africa? Do you have a place where they can come in and present themselves so you can check them?
No, what happens with Ebola is the early signs are really flu-like symptoms. Temperature, runny nose, sore throat, sometimes diarrhea and vomiting. And then thereafter, we look at those symptoms and also look at where you have been. In other words, if you have those symptoms and you've generally been in Zimbabwe, we think that it will be our normal flus. But if you have that package range of symptoms and have been to any one of those particular countries, then we have a very high sense of suspicion, and then we isolate you and then monitor you appropriately. We have already identified Wilkins Infectious Diseases Hospital as one of our hospitals for isolation in this particular case.
David Parirenyatwa is Zimbabwe's Health and Child Welfare Minister. He spoke with Studio 7's Mafelas Ntlanganyahuye from Harare.
Harare has dispatched Industry and Commerce Minister Mike Bima to China ahead of President Robert Mugabe's visit to that country at the end of the month to seek Chinese investment to help revive Zimbabwe's struggling economy. Bima's mission follows recent visits to Beijing by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa and Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa. But the visits have so far failed to raise the more than $27 billion that Harare needs to implement its economic blueprint, Zim Asset, to turn around the economy. Alarm bells are ringing after the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries reported that industrial capacity utilization has gone down to about 30%. In 2011, industry capacity utilization averaged 57% before it dropped to 44% in 2012 and 39.6% in 2013. Efforts to get a comment from Bima were futile as his mobile phone went unanswered. Former Zimbabwe Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Callisto Jokonya tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that continued company closures are a cause for serious concern.
It's true that things are much tougher than they were last year. Demand for goods has fallen. I think there's also change in the habits, pattern of spending has also come down. If people have good money, they are locking it away, not spending, because they are not yet sure of the future. So there's quite a number of factors. Foreign investors are not coming to invest into the country. Our bilateral arrangements with many financial organizations, nothing is forthcoming from that direction. Everything is at its lowest at the moment. So the things are quite tough.
The finance minister was recently in China, and we also understand that the industry minister is in China at the moment, and President Robert Mugabe will also be going there maybe at the end of the month to seek assistance. Do you think ties with China will help in resuscitating the economy?
I think the most important thing is these ties must be very specific and very deliberate. Yes, the relationship politically, China and Zimbabwe has been very good. Economically, there's a lot to be done.
That was former Zimbabwe Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Callisto Jokonya speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Secretary General Japhet Moyo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that workers have been left exposed by the company closures.
I think the rate in which people are losing jobs, the rate in which the industry is closing is a bit alarming, something we have not witnessed over the years. And we get revision views on really the reason behind that.
What are some of the reasons?
The reasons are to do with what we have said over the years. I think the environment created by, of course, government policy. People don't have faith in the authorities. Confidence for those who have got money to continuously invest in this environment. I think it's because of the pieces of legislation which over the years we've come to know where people are not sure whether the issue of property has been dealt with. You see, so people seem to have gone underground or to the informal economy where rules don't apply. So it's about government policy, nothing else.
Japhet Moyo is the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. He spoke with Blessing Zulu from Bulawayo.
Meanwhile, the CZA is reporting that a total of 10 Bulawayo companies have either been liquidated or placed under judicial management between January and June this year. According to internet news site The Source, details it obtained from the Bulawayo High Court show that three companies, Lasker Brothers Private Limited, makers of the HR brand of shirts, Trade Power Private Limited and Wenbra, went under liquidation after they failed to pay debtors and workers millions of dollars. A survey by CZA says a total of 10 major economically strategic companies have shut down in Manicaland over the past 5 years, while other five are operating below capacity. The CZA survey shows that Mutare Board and Paper Mills, Karina Textiles, Pine Products, Ada Katio, Devstar Clothing, Industrial and Domestic Wear, Dairy Board Mutare Factory, Kenge Breweries, Cotton Company of Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe Coffee have all shut down operations in the region or folded altogether.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Chitungwiza Workers Union official says the satellite town today continued to issue suspension letters to employees who participated in last month's 5 day strike. Chitungwiza Workers Union committee member Fortunate Mushonga says the development has instilled fear in workers who were planning to demonstrate today to force the municipality to reinstate 6 suspended union officials. The 6 were suspended over the strike action. Sources say the municipality plans to suspend 890 of its 1,600 workers for taking part in the crippling strike. Studio 7 failed again to get a comment from the authorities as their mobile phones were not reachable. We spoke with Mushonga for more details.
So far for today, nothing has happened, but we are looking forward for tomorrow that we are going to stage a demonstration.
How many people received the suspension letters today?
We had not the actual figures, but they are still coming.
Yesterday, we understand some council members met with the management. What came out of that meeting?
So far, as workers representatives, we don't know exactly what came out there.
So, what is your next move? What are you planning to do next?
Tomorrow, we have planned to stage a demonstration.
But do you think your members or workers will join that demonstration?
Yes, we have mobilized today.
And there are reports that some workers are tearing down posters that the union put up yesterday. What's going on?
They are being sent by the management.
How do you know this?
They are Minister of Police members. So it's obvious. We have no doubt there.
That was Chitungwiza Workers Union Committee member Fortunate Mushonga in Chitungwiza.
Still with local authority issues, the Combined Harare Residents Association claims that the local authority is losing thousands of dollars in potential revenue due to council workers who are allegedly accepting bribes to manipulate bills for personal benefit. CRA President Mfundo Mlilo says the council's BIQ accounting system is easy to manipulate as payments are mostly done manually by city workers that are suspected to be taking bribes from locals to reduce bills. He says Harare and other cities can take advantage of the Zimbabwe's mobile phone device penetration of more than 13 million to keep such activities resulting in councils generating a lot of revenue.
The city of Harare has got weak monitoring systems during the day on what payments have been made on what accounts. So there's a lot of manipulation. That's why you see some of the employees of the city of Harare have actually been evicted primarily because of those issues.
Now, when you look at that kind of system, how best can the council curb, you know, some leakages?
I know that in 2012, 2013, the city of Harare, CRA, and the city of Munich, which is the partner city for city of Harare, proposed a centralized system that would allow you to pay your bill at a local transit office and then immediately or instantly that updates at the central system. But that project was not seen through. So again, we continue to see these challenges where people pay their bills but the payments do not reflect in the next month's bill, which tells you that there's a bit of manipulation and sometimes corruption that happens at local district offices. Ferrari employees, I think they've gone for like 3 months without being paid. So there's a motivation for employees like that to be involved in criminal and corrupt activities, where someone with a $3,000 bill goes to city officials, pay something, and then because the system can easily be manipulated, that bill is erased from the system. So the city is losing a lot of money.
Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni was not available for comment as he was not responding to calls on his mobile phone. But Ward 13 Councillor Peter Moyo confirmed that the City Council is losing thousands of dollars through the manipulation of the BIQ accounting system by council workers.
We have systems in council where we have an audit department. It unearths the such malpractices also at the market, also using fake receipts and what have you. When we came into council in 2008, we approved the very big bill which was said to go to be paid to BIQ system. But up to now, we don't even see how this BIQ works. We went as far as employing the ICT manager to assist us in that regard. And there are a lot of things that were unearthed by the team which came from Germany, Munich, about our BIQ system. So currently, I cannot deny that because we have reports and reports of people stealing money in the council. There are a lot of gaps and loopholes in council.
So now, the best plan, according to the Combined Residents Association, is for the council to actually go into a system in which people can use their phones to actually pay bills. Is that workable?
It's very much workable. We went into an agreement with Econet. Now, right now, you can pay your bills using EcoCash. But, you know, a lot of people are shunning that system. I don't know why. But that's the only way which can save this council from losing a lot of money.
That was Harare Ward 13 Councillor Peter Moyo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Villagers in Siwaze and Bondweni in Matabeleland South Sinsiza District say the earth dam and irrigation schemes they set up with assistance from the World Food Programme have made them food secure for the first time in over a decade. The villagers say the projects have provided sufficient water for their livestock and allowing them to irrigate over 10 hectares and other everyday activities. A spokesman for WFP, Thompson Piri, says they launched the $30 million scheme to assist rural communities.
Well, WFP's Productive Asset Creation Program is a program that we use in fighting hunger after communities have been affected by disasters that affect their food security, such as drought and floods. So it is vital that communities bounce back quickly following disasters, and WFP assist communities to rebuild infrastructure that might help them in the long run by ensuring that they become food secure in the long term. So we create assets. We help them create assets in conjunction with NGO partners and the government. Assets such as irrigation schemes, earth dams, deep tanks.
How much did you use at least in the past year for this program?
We used close to $30 million in the past program as we were in 22 rural districts and we created in excess of 320 assets.
How is this program being received?
Well, this program ties in very well with government policy. It ties in with what is called the food deficit mitigation strategy. It is well received by the villagers themselves, who are the direct beneficiaries of such initiatives.
World Food Programme spokesman Thompson Piri speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Coming up,
new highway code on the way to curb the carnage of the country's roads.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Police in Liberia's capital have fired tear gas at protesters who were upset that the government placed a quarantine on their neighborhood to fight the spread of Ebola.
U.S. officials are working to confirm the authenticity. In fact, they have now confirmed the authenticity of a video that Islamic State militants showed beheading an American journalist as a message for the United States to stop intervening in Iraq.
Israel and Palestinians in the Gaza Strip carried out dozens of attacks on each other today, with one Israeli airstrike killing the wife and infant son of the Hamas military leader in Gaza.
The Zimbabwe Safety Council says it is in the process of working on a new highway code to replace the 1979 one that is currently being used in an effort to curb the carnage on the country's roads. Arthur Chigoriwa reports from Chinoy.
Speaking in Chinoy today at the first new highway code public consultation meeting, Zimbabwe Safety Council spokesperson and product development and marketing manager Ernest Muchena said the new code, which is still in a draft form, will go a long way in curbing the road carnage in Zimbabwe. Muchena says the new code will incorporate other road designs used by Southern African countries. Act 1, Muchena.
We decided to come up with a new highway code to improve on the driver tuition so that our drivers are better equipped on the road. So we find in the new highway code we are working on the rules and also the attitudes of the driver. So we hope that the new highway code will shape up even the old driver and the new driver into becoming a better driver who understands road rules and regulations. Countries agreed that it would be better to have uniform signage in the region, as we acknowledge the fact that there is a lot of drivers who do inter-country driving. Somebody like the professional drivers who drive from Zambia, probably through Zimbabwe.
Muchena says the new highway code will minimize road accidents if effectively implemented. The new highway code will be translated into the country's local languages. Motorists and the general public who do not drive will be encouraged to own a copy, Muchena said.
That's well acceptable. When the highway code has been published and accepted, we hope as Traffic Safety Council that we are going to have translations of the highway code into the vernacular language. As you have seen, that the draft highway code is not only for the driver, it also has rules for pedestrians who may not be well conversant with the English language. It has got also rules about animal drawn vehicles, which are used very much in rural areas. So we expect to translate the highway code into the vernacular languages.
Taxi Association member Enrod Kaunda said his association welcomes the public service vehicle age limit of 30 years, saying the carnage on the roads was also fueled by young drivers who are thrilled by speed. Act 3, Kaunda. Muchena said his office does not anticipate any challenges in domesticating SADC regulations. He warned the public not to buy fake new highway codes that is already flooding the market. The country has been experiencing more road accidents annually due to a number of factors, including poor roads and a human error, mainly attributed to negligence and a failure to observe road regulations. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
The Harare-based Book Cafe is a venue for many of Zimbabwe's musical and other artists to share their talents. The venue's founder, Paul Brickhill, a white Zimbabwean and former member of the Zimbabwe People's Revolutionary Army, or ZIPRA, is credited for helping launch the careers of many of the country's musicians. Artists perform regularly as a group at the Book Cafe, as they did recently in memory of Chiwoniso Marayire. But yesterday, artists gathered at the Book Cafe to pay tribute to Brickhill as he battles cancer. His son, Thomas Brickhill, also a musician, tells Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalele the tribute was a moving recognition of his father.
Obviously, the circumstances that brought people together are, you know, worrying to say the least. But in many ways, we weren't there to really be too sad, but we're more there to really celebrate the vast achievements and stuff that he has made already in his lifetime through arts and culture in Zimbabwe.
Tell us a little bit about this event. I understand that it was spearheaded in part by Oliver Mtukudzi.
Yes. Well, I would say by Oliver Mtukudzi and his manager and former drummer, Sam Matale. And basically, you know, Sam has been quite instrumental in the last couple of years. He's actually had a kind of tribute concert for Oliver Mtukudzi that he did organize last year. And his kind of thinking is very much that, you know, it's all very well when somebody is dead and gone to say, oh, they did a lot of stuff. You know, they were really a fundamental part of something that was important to us all. But why not celebrate those people whilst they're still here? So very much when he and Tuku found out that my dad was very sick and they went to visit him in hospital and said, look, do you mind? We'd like to, you know, get the ball rolling by committing ourselves right here, right now, to doing a tribute concert in your honor to basically champion all the great things that you've done in your lifetime. So that, you know, people can feel loved and appreciated while they're still here on the earth, not, you know what I mean, from the other side.
How would you say your father is feeling right now about the tribute yesterday and about the impact that he's made on the social scene in the country?
I know that, you know, he's very aware of the great love that so many artists and patrons of the Book Cafe, but, you know, across Zimbabwe, art scene generally. You know, to give you an example, there's a poet and writer who came to me last night during the show and said, you know, do you know that your dad just gave me a chance and said to me, no, right, let's see what you can come up with. And this was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And there's been so many little stories like that of people who feel really close and feel, you know, very attached to him from how he might have played an instrumental role in pushing their careers forward at a certain point in time. So I know that he's very much aware of, you know what I mean, that's the grand love that a lot of people have for him. Obviously, it was sad that he couldn't actually be there at the concert because he's not in a condition where he could, you know, go out, certainly not into such a smoky environment as you would find in a club in central Harare.
That was Thomas Brickhill, the managing director of the Book Cafe and founder, Paul Brickhill's son. He spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakalele.
Studio 7 is available on Channel Zim on your WeStack free-to-air decoder C-Zim from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. from Monday to Friday, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. Listen online. Go to www.channelzim.net. However, due to technical installations, expect some program disruptions of programs in the next few days. We apologize for any inconvenience. Please don't adjust your sets.
And also remember to continue sending emails to your mailbag on studio7@voanews.com so we can read your messages on air. The address again, studio7@voanews.com. You can also call our hotline number on +1 202 205 9942 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which you can play on air. The number once again, +1 202 205 9942, and then dial 11 to leave your message.
And briefly, our sports results today. There were some soccer matches played, and Shabani 0, Caps 0, Black Rhinos 0, FC Platinum 1, Chiredzi 0, Chicken Inn 1, and Chapungu 3, ZPC Kariba 0. Now,
stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you listeners about continuing campaign closures in the country.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. And now to recap today's top stories.
Health Minister David Parirenyatwa issues a travel alert warning Zimbabweans to avoid traveling to West African countries that have been hit hard by the deadly Ebola virus.
And Harare dispatches Industry and Commerce Minister Mike Bima to China ahead of President Robert Mugabe's visit to seek Chinese investments.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.